Hello, it's Friday, or is it? You're listening to me, Alan O'Donoghue, and this is the Teach Computing podcast that goes out every Friday. You may know that I'm on Twitter as TechnoTeacher, T-E-K-N-O, Teacher, and I'm not actually a computer scientist. It's only recently, in the last couple of years or so, where I've been learning all about how to teach computing, and I'm trying to help other people. And today, I've been at the Sirius Academy in Hull. And I've got to work with lots of teachers there who are already teaching GCSE computing and some teachers who are thinking about it. And I've bumped into Paul. Paul, tell us a little bit about who you are and your role at Sirius.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Paul Jordan and I'm the Director of Computing and Business at Sirius Academy. We've just been graded an Ofsted Outstanding Academy, so I just wanted to get that in.
And Sirius, why is the school called Sirius?
It's called Sirius because Sirius is the brightest star in the night sky, and that enables us to use that to praise the students and to help to set up the ethos of the school. So, yeah, we can talk about people being shining stars. We can say that Sirius is a place where stars are born. If you do very well, then you are a rising star or a shining star, or you can be one of a galaxy of stars at Sirius. So it lends itself to setting a good positive tone and celebrating achievement.
And are you really proud of the GCSE results at the school?
Yeah, I mean, we've done really well. Right? I mean, since the academy's been open for 5 years, and it came from the predecessor school. It was a national challenge school. The results have been below floor targets for quite a number of years. Although I'm bound to say the IT department always did very well. since we've been the academy under the direction of our really ambitious and fantastic principal, Dr. Taylor, and I mean that genuinely, and the hard work of all the staff and the students as well, the results have gone right up. We've been above all our targets for A stars to Cs, including English and maths, without English and maths, students leaving with G or better, everybody achieves,
So these changes, the new curriculum for computing, that they must be causing you some anxiety or some worries about preparing for these?
Yeah, they do, because it's a different way of teaching to the way that computing has been taught, for a very long time, a decade or more. So we've got a team of quite a big team. We've got 8 people in the department. They were all brought in as either ICT teachers, and some of them actually business studies teachers that also can teach ICT, which is, I think, the way that it's often been done in schools. So when the announcement was made that that everything was changing, we're going to be starting to talk about computing instead of ICT and moving towards computer science. It was something which was a radical change. And we knew that there was going to be a lot of work to put in. And fortunately, we started on this journey almost immediately. But it has been a case of small steps. But what I would say to anybody that was nervous or anxious about it is just start with some coding. Mm-hmm. Because something like Small Basic, you can really pick up quite quickly, and you can be at a point where you can deliver the learning to the students without an investment of an awful lot of time. The more complex languages, things like Python, obviously they're going to take some time, but you can be doing Scratch and you can be doing Small Basic quickly as a teacher. There's so much support out there. There's video, there's tutorials, there's books, there's stuff on YouTube. So it really doesn't take long before you can be moving with it.
Do you think there's a concern that there may be too much emphasis or focus on the programming element of the new curriculum?
Yeah, I think the terminology could do with a bit of clarification. Sure. Mm-hmm. Because I think there is not a total agreement about what exactly it is that we're talking about, that we're teaching. I call what we're doing computing. And computer science is a very, very important element of it, but it's not all of it. So in our computing curriculum, although we are teaching computer science now, and we've been doing it for 2 years, we also have to cover some office skills, which students are still going to know, and that's a totally legitimate part and an important part of the curriculum, but it's just one which, instead of it all being given over to learning how to use Microsoft Office products, it's quite a relatively small part of it. But we've still got to do things like cyber safety. We've got to do all those other things. So it isn't just about the coding. But the great thing is that it really gives you the opportunity to start using your imagination and your creativity. And I think we've found it fun, and it's helped to invigorate and reignite our enthusiasm for teaching, mm-hmm. Which, you know, when you've been doing the job for a while, so you need something new to get yourself going again sometimes. And so I think if you embrace it and you have a go at it, don't try to do everything at once. It's great.
When I first started teaching ICT a few years ago, I was one of the only few people who were actually using ICT, and we had an ICT room, and occasionally you'd find one or two more proactive teachers from other curriculum areas would be looking to use ICT within their lessons. But over the last 10 years, with the use of things like mobile apps, I've started to see ICT being more effectively delivered across the curriculum. Do you think there's a challenge that computing might not be as easy or might not transfer? Like, how do you get other curriculum areas involved?
I think it gives a good opportunity to do that because of the availability of things like Raspberry Pis, which can be the computing device that you can then connect to things which can interact with the outside world. So it really does lend itself to, we're only at the early stages mm-hmm. of it, but it really does lend itself to things like, you know, data logging and things like music and so on. And on a more basic level than the Raspberry Pi, you've got the Makey Makeys, which are really easy to get going with. They don't require any, you know, coding knowledge.
And there's so much scope for imagination and creativity when you're using things like that.
Yeah. So, you know, within 10 minutes, you can have a keyboard that is connected to a synthesizer and you're playing tunes on a basket of fruits. And it's quite easy to do. And it really does enthuse the students, which is...
And there's a whole raft of initiatives, aren't there, as well, around not just the Raspberry Pi, but this... Did I hear you mention the BAFTA Young Games Designer earlier?
Yeah. Well, that's something we're doing this year. We've got some students actually in a session today. And with the BAFTAs, there are two categories that you can enter. You can enter either the Games Designer, where there's actually creating the nuts and bolts of a game, or there's a second segment that you can enter, which is about a concept.
Right.
So we've entered for the concept for this year. And we've done it as a cross-curricular thing. So I've set up a carousel. We've got 20 year 8 students doing it. And they've had 100-minute sessions with teachers from across the curriculum. And it's been really diverse. And it's been terrific. So we've managed to get humanities in, talking about the ethics of games, which I think is, you know, it's quite a hot topic. So the students have been exploring that. They've looked at level design and character design in art. We've also been using Scratch to look at some of the game mechanics in ICT. We've brought English in to do marketing and writing to persuade for advertising. Then we've brought MFL in, who are then doing writing to persuade and advertising in French and Spanish, so the game can appeal to those markets. We've had maths yesterday doing vectors and movement of characters around. And really all the teachers have said that the students are really loving it. And the last session out of the computing department is going to be tomorrow in science, where Miss Welsh is going to be making explosions from different chemicals and looking at fires and different colours of fires from different elements to help the students with the colours right for any flames and explosions that may be going on. So I'm looking forward. I'm going to go and watch that one.
So it's no surprise we're getting lots of bright ideas from Sirius, the shiny star.
There we go. Yeah.
So, Paul, thank you very much. If this somebody's listening to this podcast and they want to get in touch with you to know more, is there an easy way? Are you on Twitter or is there – what's the best way to get in touch?
Easiest way to get in touch would be pjordan, J-O-R-D-A-N, at siriusacademy.org.uk. Any – advice or questions or help or anything you want. Yeah,
that's great.
I'd be pleased to hear.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Thank you very much, sir.
So today I'm in Manchester and I'm at the Manchester Girl Geeks Bar Camp, and what an amazing event. There's hundreds of people here, lots of people all talking about
from the digital sector, software development, programming, but also lots of other things that are nothing to do with computers at all. And while I was here, I've bumped into Eva. Eva, tell us a little bit about who you are and where you're from.
Hi, my name is Eva. I'm B_7_E on Twitter. I'm a software developer. I'm originally from Romania, but now I live in Sheffield, where I help co-organize Sheffield Ruby User Group. However, my background is the traditional software development route of a degree in computer science, a master's in software engineering. But I'm also trained as a computing teacher in Romania, and part of my passion is education. That's why I also married an educator, who's my husband, and specifically teaching computing. And I spend some time training students at the University of Sheffield via my previous role at Epigenesis. I trained and mentored fourth-year computer science students in Ruby, and I did some volunteering in trying to mentor and train a young offender recently.
Right, that's quite. It seems like you're quite busy with a lot on there. You said you trained to teach in Romania. Now you might know that the UK curriculum has recently changed from teaching ICT, which was predominantly based around office skills, to computing, which encompasses a lot of computer science. As the UK was going through this process of reviewing what they were teaching, a lot of people were looking to countries in Eastern Europe, like Romania, Latvia, and Estonia, and seeing that in some ways that Romania were leading the way. And in fact, I remember there was a Google do this competition, international coding competition. I've forgotten the actual name of it, but one year, I think it was in 2012, I looked at the entries by nation, and the countries you'd expect to be at the top in terms of entries, like the UK, the US, weren't there. It was Romania was the number one, followed by Hungary, I think. Estonia was like number seven. And, you know, we talk about the Eurovision Song Contest sometimes, and those countries don't always do that well. But in terms of the Google competition, there was a lot of entries from those countries. Has there always been a tradition in Romania of teaching computing?
So I grew up in a very small town, and I actually learned BASIC at an extracurricular activity. It was kind of like a similar to a code club. With like really old machines, but sure. People who were interested in teaching children who wanted to learn. So I've done that when I was like 12. And then at high school level, we started out with Pascal and C from the ninth grade. So when you're 14, you kind of learned algorithms and how to write Pascal and C code. And that has always been like that. We have a specific maths and computer science high school track compared to like sociology. You have like sociology languages.
That's
but
right, yes.
The maths and computer science is quite math and computer science centric. But also, I think one of the things that we do well is having like a general knowledge thing. So I've done three languages in high school on top of the other things. I think there is a culture of learning new things, and with young people now all on their computers, it's just going to grow even stronger in my mind.
So was there a choice element when you did computing or computer sciences high school? Did you get to elect whether to do that, or everybody did it?
We did get to elect. Actually, only three of us chose to do our baccalaureate from computer science,
right,
from 18 people,
right,
in high school. However, previously there wasn't no choice.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's because the maths and computer science high school track is considered the best. So even if you want to do languages after as a university degree, if you have a maths and computer science background, you're probably going to have a very good education. So people just flock to that, even though they might not have as much such a big passion for computing or maths. Which I did, but anyway.
One of the themes that's running through today's BarCamp conference or unconference event is people are looking at gender issues and and stereotypes and where those stereotypes exist, what can be done to reduce or eradicate them. Do you think you were subject to the same kind of stereotyping in Romania? Was computing perceived as being a male subject? Not at all.
Actually. I had a lot of female colleagues. We were kind of mixed, half and half. So I didn't even know about the issues in diversity until I came to the UK related to IT industry, because I don't think there is a perception, especially in the younger generation, that you can, if you're good at something, just continue doing it. So if you're good at maths and just continue doing it. There's nobody saying that you can't do it. But I guess this is also related to the fact that my parents were very, very supportive. So right. Everybody was saying that just go after it. So mm-hmm. I didn't perceive this.
And when you attended the extracurricular club, did you just decide you were going to go, or did somebody influence you to go?
No, I decided that I want to go. I also went and did theater, the same. It was basically because I was in a small town. There wasn't that much to do, so it was interesting to hang around with your friends, but also learn things. At the same time.
And the people who led this course, were they volunteers? Did you have to pay? I am not really sure.
Yeah. To be fair. It might be half to do with the council and half to do with their own passion.
And this was about 10 years ago or so?
It was about 15 years ago.
Right, okay. Yeah. So you then decided you were going to become a teacher?
Yes. Well, not necessarily as a teacher. I decided that it's going to be helpful. I always was academically oriented, so I just took another course at university to be able. So it's kind of like a dual track. You can do the pedagogy course on top of your degree. And it was kind of like a blackout plan. Sorry, but just in case.
Your insurance. Yeah.
Yeah. Just in case you're not a great developer, you can always go and teach.
Yeah. I mean, some people say that it takes a certain kind of approach and skill set to be a teacher, to be disciplined, to be able to organize lots of things at the same time, and that there might be some parallels you can draw to being a software developer, where you're trying to manage lots of projects and, you know, communicate with people and that sort of thing. So you're now a full-time software developer.
Yes, I am. Yeah?
And do you have a particular favorite programming language that you like to use?
Yes, and people might... think that I'm a bit crazy with this one, seeing that I brought Ruby cookies at the bar camp today. So I do Ruby. I previously didn't do Ruby, but I've done Ruby for 2.5 years now, and I'm continuing doing Ruby in my new job, which is with NHS Choices.
NHS Choices, is this some sort of therapy system to help people? What is it?
So at NHS Choices, we actually are in charge of the NHS.UK website, which is actually one of the biggest SharePoint websites ever. However, the beta platform that hopefully is going to be launched soon is mainly focused on OpenStack. So we're doing we have a mixed skill set of front-enders, testers, Ruby devs and .NET devs, and we're all working together to improve people's
lives. So you're going into all of your geeky speak there that a lot of people listening might not understand, but I imagine a lot of teachers have heard of Python, but maybe less so Ruby. Why would somebody choose Ruby rather than Python?
That is one of the questions that I would want to know, because, yes, so Ruby and Python are very similar at the basic level. They're both dynamic languages. They're scripting languages. They have two powerful frameworks behind it, like Django for Python and Rails for Ruby for web development. I guess, as you said, is mainly which one is first kind of situation. And one of the things that I started to talk to you about is that I feel that education is very much Python-oriented nowadays,
sure.
And I feel that's a bit unfair because people...
you think Ruby's got just as much to offer,
or
if not more, than Python has. Yeah.
Yes, I don't want to go into a whole Python versus Ruby world, but I would like to be able to help out in the Ruby world to bring Ruby close to education.
You must... if you're serious about that, you're going to face some challenges, aren't you? Because the Raspberry Pi, for example, which is being touted as the platform of choice for computing education, well, at the moment, Python is native to the... Katie Steckles keeps doing these announcements in between, so we know. So Python works really smoothly and very easily on the Raspberry Pi without having to do a lot of extra work. If you're going to try and introduce Ruby to the education world, are you going to have a battle on your hands?
I probably will, but because I like challenges and I really like having too many things on my plate, I decided recently at Scott Ruby that I'm going to help out ShoesRB, which is a platform for written in Ruby, which is the forefront for Hackety Hack, which is a tool used to teach programming to children via Ruby. And my aim for the next 6 months is trying to get ShoesRB and Hackety Hack working on a Raspberry Pi. Hopefully I can do that. I have no idea how to do this because my hardware/the OS experience is very low. But hey, I have a plan. Let's see how we can get to that.
So in a way, if there's anybody listening to this who's sympathetic to Ruby, and at the same time knows about operating systems on the Raspberry Pi, you'd like them to get in touch with you.
Definitely, yeah, I would.
And you're based in Sheffield.
Yes, I am based in Sheffield.
Which is also where Pimeroni, the manufacturers of the Pi-Bo and the Pi-Brella and all these other Raspberry Pi-related accessories, I'm sure that they would know somebody around Sheffield that would be happy to collaborate with you to help you achieve your goal. Yeah.
Yes, hopefully that might be the case. I'm relatively new to this. I don't even own a Raspberry Pi yet. However, everything has it. You can start with baby steps and move on from there.
Now, some teachers listen to this might think, Ruby, how can I find out more about Ruby, or where should I start? Are there, like, around Python, there's this, because it's open source, you find there's all these books and tutorials online. Is there a good place to start with Ruby?
So with Ruby, there is the tryruby.org. There are other opportunities like Ruby Monk, and those going forward from that, if people are interested in Rails, there's Rails for Zombies, which is done by CodeSchool.com. So these are free.
Sure.
There are a bunch of other, like Ruby Cones is one of the people in other programming languages kind of copy Ruby Cones to be able to learn.
So I spent a good amount of time attending, where I live, Preston Code Dojo.
And I guess Gemma Cameron.
That's right, Gemma Cameron, yeah, who is Ruby Gem on Twitter. And I saw a photograph last night that she put on Google. She invited to go and meet the Queen to do with this sort of UK technology industry. And I thought, wow, you know. But it was Gemma. I don't want to keep on the colour Ruby. It was Gemma who introduced me to the Ruby Cones, because these are little challenges that you have to try and solve.
Yes.
And it's like develops your mastery of Ruby. So have you been to any of the talks today here at the bar camp?
I have been to a talk about the open calendar, which was very interesting. I also have been to Lewis's talk, it was right there, about... he's talking about where does the web take
right.
us, and he's also working with Hudi, and I've learned a lot of things about my JavaScript peers, which is also growing. JavaScript is obviously growing, so it's a very weird mix here.
Tell me about the open calendar. What is that?
The open calendar. The open calendar.
Is this like an alternative? Because we have like proprietary calendars, like there's the Apple one, which uses, is it ICS or something like that? And then there's the Google, and then there's the Microsoft calendar.
So the open calendar was very much an initiative done up in Scotland related to trying to add events in Scotland into one place.
Sure.
And it seems to have developed the past 2 years. You can import and export these events from other and into other sources like Google Calendar and whatnot. And also it's because Google Calendar doesn't have a very good collaboration way sure. of doing things. So it was basically, they had a problem and they solved it. So that was quite interesting.
So just to wrap up, see, I've been talking to Eva Barabas from Romania, but you're working in Sheffield at the moment.
I'm actually working in Leeds. I'm based in Sheffield. Okay.
Based in Sheffield, yes. Working in Leeds. Yes. And, you know, if somebody wants to run a Raspberry Jam in Sheffield, you'd be somebody to get in touch with.
Yes, we also, we actually are planning to do something for the Open Science Week with BCS South Yorkshire next year. And hopefully my project will be finished by then. And that's the next... That's the next Raspberry Jam. Well, that's the next Raspberry Pi that the BCS is doing. But I'm sure that other people are running other events. We have quite a booming tech scene in Sheffield nowadays.
That's right. And I suggest you also look into Computing at School. So I'm a member of Computing at School, which are, you could say, affiliated with the BCS, but they're actually supported financially by the BCS. So that's for teachers like myself in schools. Mm-hmm. Eva, it's been lovely to talk to you and enjoy
Definitely,
the rest of the bar camp.
Thank you.